New Year's Eve morning drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Happy holiday to everybody out there. Be safe tonight, okay? Seriously. Let's not be amateurs tonight. Let's not make our city, dangerous and stupid. Let's be smart and safe and savvy and intelligent. Because that's what happens on New Year's Eve, right, Derek? People get smarter and more intelligent.
I wish that was
savvier. Well, you're standing.
I wish that was the case.
The mics aren't designed to be for standing people. It's for people that are sitting. Happy New Year, everybody. Be safe. National Predators tomorrow. And again, you've got Preds Insiders and Road to Dallas tonight at 6 and 7 on this here channel, 102.5 The Game, of course. And Jared Stillman and the GM coming up at 10, immediately following us. A little change there today because Darren Donick and Chase are out in Dallas. They will be ringside today at 2 o'clock starting then, and they will be able to actually, they'll be ringside watching practice, doing a radio show all at the same time.
That'll be pretty cool.
So check that out. And then again, as I said, Preds Insiders and Road to Dallas at 6 and 7 tonight. Then they're back on the air tomorrow morning. Chase and Ryan on the air tomorrow at 9 a.m. Then you got Smashville Live, a special edition of Smashville Live tomorrow at 11 a.m. Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, going to be on with them, I believe, around 11:30. So check that out. Then pregame at noon and puck drop at 1. Greg Wyshynski was on earlier with us from ESPN saying that it could be probably the second largest attended hockey game in the history of the outdoor event series. Of course, the Big House at Michigan being number one. So Preds fans are already everywhere in Dallas. Going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be the largest traveling contingent, period. You've got the rivalry with Dallas growing because of the playoff series last year. Mm-hmm. I just expect it to be a ton of fun. Bad playing surface doesn't necessarily lead to great, style of play. But I kind of forget, again, I don't care about the points. I don't care about the style of play. I care about the spectacle and the party. Give me a good time. Show me a good time. That's all I care about. You can go have a good time at Tin Roof if you're not going to go, because Marquise or Keese, we haven't decided yet, will be hosting and emceeing at Tin Roof tomorrow for the watch party for the Winter Classic. So that's all the Winter Classic stuff. Did I miss anything, Marquise? Is that everything? I think we got everything in there for what's going on for today and tomorrow with the Preds and the Stars Winter Classic coming up. You'd look at it a little differently, though. I view it as a chance to celebrate the game, celebrate to non-traditional markets, and just sort of enjoy yourselves, kick back, maybe pop some champagne, have a good time, enjoy New Year's, celebrate 2020, and watch a little hockey in a very cool and creative and unique spectacle type of situation. You view it a little bit differently.
Yeah, I view it as because of what this team hasn't done this year. They haven't been consistent. This hasn't been the Preds team that we have been accustomed to. This isn't the team that, those that are, just moving here, or those that have been, fans of the Predators since 97. This is not the team that we have seen the last 4 or 5 years. This team is a team without an identity, and that's hard to say because you figure that's one thing that they would have. They don't have that. They don't have consistent play. Now they don't have what we thought at one point was furthest from the problem. They don't have that goalie in net that can win us games. When nothing is going right, we at least looked at Pecorine and UC Soros and said, you know what? If all else fails, those two guys got us, especially Pecorine. Well, right now we can't say that.
Yeah.
We can't say that. And to me, this is an opportunity for this team to start the year off right. It has to be more than just a spectacle for them. It has to be more than just a winter game for them. For them, it's an opportunity to get 1 or 2 points. If they walk out of here with no points, that would be 3 games in a row. And for me, them pushing themselves further down the list of teams potentially not going to make the playoffs. If they win, does it mean necessarily they're making the playoffs? No, but to me, the showing, the win, can give them, you know, give them that optimism, give them something to hold on to. You know, if they play a game, if they play this game the way that we think they should play it, because it's still, we feel it's still in them against a Dallas team that is in a sort of the same predicament they're in. It's still in them if they go out there and they play well, and Pecorine plays well in the net. But if they don't, we're going to wonder, like, you know, where is this team at? Where are they heading?
Yeah.
Should they make moves? Should Peter, you know, then we're going to start questioning a little while the head coach and the coaching staff.
And here's what I – it's weird because you go back to the year Pekka wins the Vezina, uh-huh, and they win the President's Trophy. They're the best team in the NHL. He's the best goalie in the world. His numbers are exceptional all mm-hmm. season long, and it results in a President's Trophy and a Vezina. And sure, they made it to game 7 of the second round. They lost to Winnipeg. And that's disappointing, but also, you know, not terrible. Not mm-hmm. what you expected, but not terrible. It's not falling flat on your face. Mm-hmm. What's funny is that I think people forget very quickly that they were the 8th seed in the NHL playoffs the year they went to the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. And that Pekka Rinne's season that year, while it finished above 90% save percentage, I think he was at 918 for the year, mm-hmm. and his goals against, I think, was 242, which, again, isn't spectacular. Mm-hmm. His regular season was wildly inconsistent that year, that they went to the Stanley Cup final. He was wildly inconsistent, had an unbelievable November with a 950 save percentage and 1.5 goals against. Then he comes back in December, and he gives up 3.5 goals per game with an 870 save percentage. Mm-hmm. Then he bounces back and has a great January. Then he has an atrocious February. Then he comes back and has a great March. It was such a roller coaster that even the year they went to the Stanley Cup, Pekka Rinne
was inconsistent.
And so he was so much better the following year when they went to when they win the President's Trophy. And then, of course, last season, a little bit more stable, a little bit more consistent. You know, again, the numbers at 242 and 918 save percentage were actually identical to the year they went to the Stanley Cup, but it clearly wasn't, you know, it was a little bit more consistent last year than it was 3 years ago for the Cup run. This year, he had one of the best starts we've ever seen from a goaltender of his age to start the year. What was it, 8-0-2 to start the year? Something like that. And now he's, you know, 13-7-3, he's under 90%, he's over 3 goals a game. He's not good right now. Yeah. But he was also terrible in December the year they won the Cup. And then he bounced back and had a great January. Then had a terrible February. So I still think there's a lot of time left for both Pekka Rinne, a guy who's been around a million years, and UC Saros, who's got a ton of upside.
That may be the problem.
For them to work through it.
Well, that may be the problem. That he's
too many years.
Too many years. It could be, you know, father time is catching up with him. It caught up with him. He didn't play well in the playoffs last year. And he started off hot this year, and now it's starting to fizzle out. Maybe, just maybe, Father Time has caught up to him. You know? Maybe he needs a little bit more rest.
That would be fine if the other guy wasn't under 90% save percentage as well. They both just are going to have to work their way out of it. And that's the problem with that position, is that there's not a fix. You don't just go trade guys.
No, you can't.
It's not like a defenseman or a forward. It's not like an offensive lineman where you can just try a backup. You're going to ride with them or you're going to die with them, and those are the two guys that they've got. I still am okay with them, and I think they're going to be fine. I think the numbers will finish better than where they are now. Mm-hmm. Does that make them good enough to make a run or make the playoffs? I don't know. And then they've got some decisions to make at the end of the season should that happen, but we are a long, long way from that. For now, let's enjoy the Winter Classic. NFL coaching news from around the NFL as well as the AFC South. We'll get to that when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And
D-Mace, she was feeling this.
Yeah, you were in on that.
Ready to let go.
You know the song?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I was going to say there's no way he knows that.
Cage of the Elephant.
Yeah, Cage of the Elephant's very good. They're from Bowling Green, Kentucky, just up the road.
I thought you said
now they call Nashville home.
I thought you said Case of the Elephant. I was going to say, what?
That would be a good band name, though.
Case of the Elephant.
So that would be a good, maybe not 90s, but like 1999, 2000 band.
Yes, that is true. I saw Case of the Elephant at Hangout Fest in like 2011 or 12. I don't believe the lead singer had gotten clean yet. It was the show was spectacular, they did not look sober at all on stage. You know, if you ever get close enough to a like a really, really heavy rock band and you look up at their faces and you're like, what are those guys doing? What are those guys doing? You need to laugh on microphone, Derek. It makes my stories better.
I was looking for something in my bag. Keith, laugh for me. Keith,
yeah,
laugh
can you laugh? Can you laugh for Derek for me, please? Derek has stand-ins now. You know how like actors have people that do their body doubles, like for all the stunts. Derek just doesn't want to laugh anymore.
Hold on, I got you. I got you. There you go. There's your laugh.
That's tremendous. No, Cage the Elephant, very, very good. Very, very good stuff. The first album is fantastic. Ian Rappaport reporting that the Jaguars had been leaning towards keeping GM Dave Caldwell and coach Doug Marrone for some time. The blowout win to end it likely helped, but ownership wanted to give them a chance without Tom Coughlin at the top because of how that influenced the locker room. So it sounds like the statement from this is from Saad Khan. It's a very long statement, so I'm not going to read all of it here. I'm trying to skim through it. It literally just came out, you know, minutes ago. It feels like, let's see, the 2019 season was unacceptable, and I've made my dissatisfaction clear. While many unusual circumstances influenced our season, none can fully explain or defend our second half collapse. With first place in the division within reach on week 9. At the same time, there were positive developments and contributions that should not be overlooked. We came out of our AFC Championship game season in 2017 by making a 4-year commitment to the collective leadership of our football operations. Only 2 seasons have passed, and 1 change from that leadership team has already been made. He's, of course, referring to removal of Tom Coughlin in that situation. I want to see what we produce under new organizational structure in 2020. Goals have been established. Accountability will be paramount. So Doug Marrone back for the Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the only decisions we had still left on the table. Obviously, the Washington Redskins have moved on from Jay Gruden. It looks like Ron Rivera is going to be their guy. The coach that was fired, of course, from the Carolina Panthers. The New York Giants fired Pat Shurmur yesterday as well. So you've got the Panthers, Giants, Redskins, and, of course, the Browns getting rid of Freddie Kitchens. It appears that Jason Garrett in Dallas, his contract literally expires like at midnight tonight. So I believe that there, again, I think it's the new year when his contract expires. So it sounds like Jerry Jones, Jarrah, is just going to let him walk away and they're just going to part ways sort of very quietly and peacefully. I don't know what that means for the direction they go. Is Arthur Smith a candidate for any of these jobs? It doesn't feel like he is. It feels like it's a little early for that. But again, Doug Marrone staying in place. Jason Garrett probably not. And then, of course, you see all the other names out there. Greg Roman from Baltimore is going to be a name that's very hot and popular. So the coaching carousel, maybe not a massive carousel. It's like a little carousel, but it is spinning right now.
It is spinning. There are coaches that have been fired. There are some that are potentially waiting on their fate. Not many, but there's, you know, maybe 2-3 that are waiting on their fate. And then there are some that has to prove it next year, whether they are the head coach or not. So, you know, whether Arthur Smith is getting serious consideration or not, I think he still, his attention should be toward, you know, just making this Titans offense as good as it can possibly be. Because if he does that and he continues to do that into next year, then a head coaching job is going to come. I don't know if he's ready or not. Only he knows that, and it only takes one owner and one GM to say, okay, we want you as our head coach. Right. But I think that would, you know, if he was to take another head coaching job, I don't how much of a step back would this offense take? You know, because then you would, do you hire within? And these are all hypothetical, huge hypotheticals. Do you hire again within to try to keep the cohesiveness and consistency with the offense?
I would hire Pat Shurmur right now to be the coordinator in 2 seconds.
Pat Shurmur.
2 seconds.
But Pat brings in a different type of offense. So you never know.
I think, how ironic would it be if he was so good that he left after being hired because of stability?
Mm-hmm.
Right? He was hired for stability purposes, right? And so now not only is it not Marcus Mariota under center, but it's Ryan Tannehill. And again, Ryan Tannehill was brought in because the skill sets are similar and they can run the offense in a similar way. And certainly Tannehill's arm is stronger and his decisiveness has been more important. But they do have similar skill sets. So you'd think Arthur Smith's offense would translate with Tannehill. It has. But I think having him around for a full year, I mean, man, just having the quarterbacks, again, they still have decisions to make.
Mm-hmm.
There's 20-plus contracts that are expiring. And here's the other question. How much does this game for Ryan Tannehill influence the negotiations? If he goes out there and wets the bed and the Patriots just dominate, does it affect the way Titans fans and John Robinson view Ryan Tannehill for next year? Isn't every game part of your evaluation?
Yeah, but how John? I think John has made up his mind. I think he is the quarterback for next year. It's just how much and how long.
That gives Tannehill a lot of negotiating power.
Yeah. Now, fans, on the other hand, if he goes out and wet the bed, overthrows balls, interceptions,
fumbles have been a problem.
You know, then fans are gonna, some fans are gonna say, "Well, here is Ryan Tannehill of the Miami Dolphins." The luck has ran out, but I think the important people, not to say fans, you're not important, but I'm saying people that are making decisions, I think they've made up their minds.
I would hope.
You know, they believe Ryan is the guy moving forward, and, how long do we sign him? Good thing about it is he's only 31. He'll be 32. So that's young for a quarterback.
It used to be old.
Yeah, it used to be old. Now that's young for a quarterback. I think
3 years is very reasonable. You can expect three good quality years of production.
Yeah, but he can play if he doesn't get hurt.
Which
is a possibility with this offensive line and the way they play.
He's missed more time than Marcus ever missed.
Yeah,
so fans that don't like Marcus because of his availability, Ryan's missed a lot more time.
So if he stays healthy, I mean, I wouldn't say him playing, five more years with the Tennessee Titans, I don't think that's far-fetched. I don't think it's far-fetched for them to sign him to a, 4 or 5 year deal with the last year being an option year, or the last 2 years being option years.
What's the upside on that? I mean, is Super Bowl an actual possibility? Because I don't want to sign him for 5 years if you don't think he can win a Super Bowl. 3 years bridge deal, even if it's worth $75 million or $90 million or whatever.
I don't think they're looking at Ryan Tannehill as a bridge quarterback. I think they're looking at him as their quarterback, and they want to have him as their quarterback as long as he plays well. If he just continues to play well, they want to continue to have him as their quarterback. I don't think they're looking at this saying, we're going to give it 3 years and then we're going to draft his successor. I think they believe he's young enough. He's proven that he knows this offense. Everyone has confidence in him, so. A 4, potentially a 5 year deal to me is not out of the realm of possibility. You got to pay the guy $25+ million a year.
Well, that's going to fans just need to get ready for that.
I know fans are going to look at it and say, you can't pay. Well, if they say 5 years, $125 million, that's the going rate.
Yeah, I mean, what's it? Winston threw 30 picks, and he's going to get $30 million.
That's the going rate. What are you going to do about it?
Now, I'll say this. Again, it's amazing how fans have just ignored this, even though they beat our phone lines down with this conversation all summer about Mariota's injury history. Mm-hmm. Mariota can't stay healthy. Mariota's not available. The 3 years prior to coming to Nashville, mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill missed 25 games.
Yeah. He missed the whole
25 games.
The whole season, a half the season.
He missed all of 2017. Uh-huh. He missed 3 games in 2016, and he missed 5 games last year.
Yeah.
This guy has been far less available than Marcus has. So, again, we've got all offseason to litigate all this stuff and to talk about all this stuff, especially if and when a contract comes. Then we can sit down and say, I think this about this deal. I'm concerned about that. I love this. There's going to be a lot of positives and negatives. I agree with you that the Titans have decided on Ryan Tannehill as their guy. He is the guy. I agree with you. My question is, it's not about the money, because I don't really frankly care. It's funny money. It's not my money. It's somebody else's money. And quarterbacks are overvalued. They make too much money as it is, but whatever. It is what it is. Like you said, just get ready for the price tag to be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is, how many years can you depend on production? And at what level of production are we talking about? Because I think it's unreasonable to expect 9.6 yards per an attempt, 117.5 quarterback rating, and a 70% completion percentage, because none of that is what Ryan Tannehill has been his whole career. Now, could he be better than what he was at Miami? Absolutely. But is he going to replicate the greatest 10-year stretch of his entire career over a three-year period of time at age 32, 33, and 34? I think that's almost unfair to ask him to do that to some to some degree. And so, really, it's about expectations. It's about length of time. I don't think the dollar, if you want to give him 2 years, you know, $60 million guaranteed, go for it. And see if you can win a Super Bowl in 2 years. But I don't think you can expect 5 years of production at the rate that he produced this year. I don't think that's fair to ask of him.
So interesting, real quick, before we go to C-Mace. So the last time the Dolphins went to the playoffs was 2016, and they lost to the Patriots. And that was the year Ryan Tannehill missed, and then Matt Moore had to start. So it's funny now he gets to play the Steelers in his first playoff game. Go figure.
Patriots.
Patriots.
There you go. Steelers are at home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are at home. I forgot about
that. No, but again, that's the year. Again, he went 8-5 that year, which is the most wins he's never had more than 8 wins in a season, guys, ever.
But if he didn't get hurt, you assume that he would.
I'm just saying the facts are the facts.
Yes.
He's never won more than 8 games as a starter in a single season. Again, this is not the time or the week to start talking about Ryan Tannehill and evaluating his career and what is he going to be in the future. This is the week to celebrate what the Titans have accomplished and then look ahead at a game that could be a monumental experience for both franchises, the Patriots and the Titans, because it means just as much to the Patriots, because this – they don't ever play on the first weekend. They don't ever host wild card games. They haven't lost in 9 consecutive home playoff games. And I think the Titans have a real chance to go up there and win the way they're playing on offense right now. So it could change. It could change the direction of two franchises. The outcome on Saturday night, 7:15, Titans and Patriots. The Winter Classic tomorrow, New Year's Day, Dallas, the Cotton Bowl, outdoors, all this stuff. Chris Mason when we come back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Happy New Year's Eve, everybody. Be safe out there. Don't do anything stupid. A man who has never done anything stupid his entire life, especially not on social media, Chris Mason joining us here. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. C. Mace, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, buddy, and you're right. I have not yet done anything stupid, as far as I know, on social media.
It's the only place where we're allowed to act like children, and it's part of our job. It's great. It's actually great.
Yeah, exactly. You get away with almost anything.
All right, so tell us through the experience of what this will be like as a player on the actual playing surface. And you know, you got to go through all the extra stuff with your family and your friends in town to kind of experience this whole thing with the Winter Classic. Take people through what the Preds players are going through, not only the playing surface and how different it's going to be from a sightline standpoint, but also just all the extracurricular stuff that they got to deal with.
Well, there's a ton. And I got to play in one of these games as a retired player in an alumni game, and it was awesome. But I got a chance to talk to a lot of the guys, and I know a lot of guys that have played in these games. It's a lot going on, and there's, you know, everyone, like you said, has got their family there. There's a lot of events and different types of things that you have to do, and travel's different and all that. But honestly, it's something that, as a player, you just cherish, because it gets you out of the norm. It's a special occasion. You listen to the interviews or watch the shows that the guys have been interviewed on leading up to this, and everyone on both sides is super excited. It really makes you, you know, takes you back to your childhood when you grew up playing on outdoor rinks, as a kid. And it really changes the monotony of a regular season and makes a very special event. And this is a game, there's, you know, only a handful of games, I think, in a player's life that, you know, they'll never forget. And this is one of those types of experiences that, you know, aside from all the extra stuff going on, which there's a lot, but it's all part of it, and I think the guys will actually get, you know, to have to enjoy this whole process and kind of soak it up as it goes along here.
With that being said, C-Mace, and I was going to go in one direction, but with you saying that, I'm going to another, because you talked about the sort of the everything that comes along with this game and it being so special, and it takes you back to your childhood. The way that the Predators are playing this year and how inconsistent they have been, or consistently inconsistent this team has been, is this maybe not a year that maybe this shouldn't have been the game for them? If you see what I'm saying, like last year would have been great because they were on this high, or the year before that they were on this high and they were going and things were going great, and then you playing this game and it's all fun because the season's going great and you can go into it with a different mentality. This year, the mentality, as fun as this game should be, this particular game should be, the way your season is going, it kind of puts a damper on it.
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. I think, you know, that this season has been extremely challenging. I'm always one that I just feel, you know, it's just part of the journey, and, uh-huh. and these are types of the, you know, the ups and downs that there's still over half a season to play, more than half of a season in terms of games, and they're still hanging around, they're right there, they got to win their games in hand. But I think my approach to this game is this as a team can get you outside of thinking about that, and aside of playing, you know, play three or four good games in a row and then you feel like you're back, and then you have another, you have another stinker, and it's the whole up and down thing. So I think this can totally get your head out of that. Although, you know, we all know the points are just as important as any regular season game. So, you know, although you get to enjoy this experience and it's fun and it's a novelty type of thing and it's a fan spectacle, at the end of the day, they need those 2 points because they're chasing Dallas. They have a few games in hand. If they win their games in hand, they'll put themselves in a wild card spot, but you have to win those games. So this game is, that's one other thing too I like about it is Dallas just came here a couple weeks ago, embarrassed the Preds. So, you know, and they have the rivalry, the playoffs last year. So this is a very important game, but I think that it can kind of take you out of the, you know, the ups and downs and the inconsistency and just focus on this hockey game, have fun. You know, they know the importance of it. So I think it's going to be an awesome game. And I see what you're saying, though, because it has been a weird, it's been just a, I just can't put my finger on, you know, what this season is all about yet. But I think the story's still being told.
Chris Mason joining us here. You're a goaltender by trade. You've been a goalie your entire life. What is going on with Pekka and UC? Is there anything you see that they just need to kind of tweak and correct to get back on track?
You know, it's honestly, it's such a small thing. I think Saros was back on track, and he obviously had a tough start to the game. Last game in Pittsburgh, I don't think any of that was really his fault. The guys came out, absolutely with nothing in the tank there. But I think he was on his way, and I think he's back. But Pekka, again, it's kind of like, it's much like the team. It's just everybody is just up and down and up and down. They're just trying to fight so hard to get to the level, you know, that they've played at, you know, during his career. And I think right now, you know, it's only a difference of, you're talking a goal every 2 games, you know, making that save when they need it. And instead, sometimes he's not making that save. It's common. I thought he looked really good last game when he got put back in Pittsburgh. But again, he's been like the team as well, kind of back and forth. But they definitely need those guys to get going. That's a huge part of their team. It always has been. That goaltending, and I think when you're getting that extra save and they're winning you some hockey games, it just does a lot for the morale and for the confidence of the team to be able to, you know, play their game without any fear of repercussion. You know, they got the Iron Curtains back there with Saros and Pekka, but, you know, they definitely need to be better. Their numbers aren't anywhere close to where they should be in terms of, you know, the level that they've established, so... Again, I'm just hoping more so like the rest of the team that everyone starts getting their game in order together here and start stringing some nice win streaks together.
Now, one guy that has been playing well and he's been rewarded with an All-Star game is Roman Josi. He's always been considered a really good defenseman, but he's sort of kind of, you know, flew under the radar nationally, but it seems like this year it's a little bit different. What has it been, you believe, for him that you've seen?
I really think he's one of the best players in the world. I don't think there's another defenseman like him. I think there's a lot of other great star, quality defenseman, but just the way that he plays the game and the way that he creates offense, it's almost single-handedly. And, you know, when you have a player like that, you know how that goes, D. Mason. You scout these guys, so every team knows what's coming at him before Roman Josi steps on the ice, but they still, you know, he still is able to skate up the ice through the neutral zone, through five guys in the defensive zone right in the middle of coverage, and you know, get join the rush, and then he's also able to get back on defense. He's just an incredible player, and I think that he is starting to get noticed more nationally. It usually takes a little longer for guys in Nashville, but I think they're getting there's a lot more eyes on them, more NBC games, and you know, ever since the Stanley Cup run there, I think people are paying more attention to the players in Nashville, and I think he's going to be. John Carlson's got the edge right now because of the points, and he's having an unbelievable season too. But I think Roman Josi, if he continues to play the way that he does, we're going to get the analytics train going and start putting together a case for him with all the underlying numbers, because I think just he's so special because of his not only his offensive gifts but his ability to defend. And he's been there. He's been by far their best player, most consistent player all year.
I mean, and huge in huge spots too. Just when they need a big play, he's made a big play. And it's literally led to either a point or 2 points here or there or whatever. So, I'm not sure he's been – there's anybody at that position that's been more impactful on their team than Roman Josi has been for the Nashville Predators. Chris Mason joining us here. We'll let you go on this. Got any plans tonight, man? Do anything special tonight?
Yeah, we're gonna have a little New Year's party at the Brain Dead Brewery in Dallas. So I'm getting ready. I'm just finishing packing right now, and I'm heading out at 1 o'clock. So we'll have a good New Year's there and bring in 2020 in style.
There you go.
You guys?
Can you believe it's 2020, man? I can't believe it.
No, I can't. I can't.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
I will be, my wife and I will put our children down at about 6:30 or 7. we will then proceed to our sweatpants and open up a bottle of champagne and maybe go to bed around 10:30. Maybe we'll make it to the maybe we make it to the Eastern time zone ball drop. Maybe.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Actually, that doesn't sound too bad to me.
Right?
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right, see. Talk to you later, man. We appreciate it. Happy New Year, buddy.
See you guys. Happy New Year to you guys as well. See ya.
Chris Mason joining us there. Yeah, they got the big thing. That's the thing that Greg Wyshynski was talking about, right? Mm-hmm. The Eric Young thing?
Yeah, WWE superstar Eric Young. I think he's hosting it.
I thought that was a country star. I didn't even know who Eric Young was.
Really?
I am so...
He's not in the loop when
I'm
he comes
so
to
out
WWE.
Of the loop, dude.
He
I'm
did
so
Smashville
out of the
Live.
Loop. I know. He's great. Chase did a great job.
Yeah, he did. But yeah, he's...
He did a great job.
No,
Eric Young to me again. The name
it does sound like
doesn't
a
it sound like a country?
Song.
Thank
yeah,
you.
It
okay,
does.
See, I'm not crazy. Like
number one hit.
There's Eric Church. You
taking
know.
It back to Georgia.
Is Luke Bryan a country star? I think he is. Eric Rhett. Is he a running back or a country star? I don't know. They all have the same name.
So before we go, I was watching Monday Night Raw last night. Eric Young was on Monday Night Raw. He got booted in the face by Charlotte Flair, which is the daughter of Ric Flair.
Now, when you get booted in the face.
I like that.
Does it
I
hurt?
Love it.
Or does he actually make contact with the face, or does she not actually make contact with the face?
She got some long legs. All those legs
booted,
were.
But like, did you actually, does he actually, like, he wakes up with, like, a big mark on his face and it's like, ice pack that thing up?
Yeah, he's going to have to. So if he's walking around with an ice pack, Charlotte Flair did.
The party tonight?
And then woo at him.
I don't know what that means either, but I'm sure
Ric Flair to woo.
Oh, that, yeah. Okay, I know what that means.
Ric Flair's daughter.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't do the, you just said woo at him.
He did it for me, so I didn't need to.
Come on, Brayden.
I am sorry.
Come on.
I am uninformed.
Get with the lingo. It's 2020, man.
It's not yet, okay?
It's basically.
Don't make it 2020.
It's 2020 right now.
I got a break.
It's 2020 somewhere.
Absolutely.
Is that your Jimmy Buffett impersonation?
Yes, it is.
I don't think Jimmy Buffett ever claimed country, but whatever.
Well,
it worked. It was fine. Let's go to break, please. Winter Classic coming up tomorrow. I'll give you all the information you need to know about coverage from Dallas today and tomorrow coming up in just a few minutes. But now, let's rewind it back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Months in producing. New Year's Eve, everybody. Amateur hour tonight. Be safe. Don't be stupid. Be smart. Take a ride share, an Uber, a Lyft, a cab. Walk home. Don't do anything dumb because all the amateurs are out in full force tonight. Happy New Year's, boys. How we doing?
Hey, listen, if I got to tell you not to do something stupid, then the hell would you do something stupid? It's only on you. It ain't on me.
You're not going to help anybody tonight? You're not going to try to be a man of the people and give them a message today and say...
For what?
I don't know, just to help people out?
It's the same message we've given you 364 days this year.
Yeah, but stick to sports is basically based on those
exactly.
two
right, exactly.
We just need to do a commercial with Derek Mason. Like, I'm Derek Mason. He puts his foot on a rock. You're like, don't be stupid today on this New Year's Eve.
Everyone feels like they're the Hulk.
The Avengers.
You know what I mean?
The Avengers are out in full force.
Yeah, tonight. Like there's 46 packs of Avengers running around Nashville tonight. And they're going to be in every inch of this town until God knows what time. And I don't want a single bit of it. I don't want any part of it.
That's why you got to stay away from the league where the amateurs play. That's why you got to play where the big boys play.
Which is where?
Lorania.
Oh, L.A. They're going to get real sauced over there.
Antioch technically was the place where that girl twerked on top of the car, so I don't
know
if that's a safe bet.
I am a professional. Floyd Reese joining us here on the program.
I'll say this. I think of all the years that we've been in a situation like this playing this team, I think we can go in there saying, hey, I feel it's at least 50-50. And I can't remember the last time we could even say that. You know, it's always you're going in, you're thinking, oh, my God, you know, Derek's going to have to run for 600 yards for us to win. Well, I don't think that now. I think there's a good chance if you were able to go in and play your game on both sides of the ball, the defense we talked about early and the defense now, and not turn the ball over at all, you know, you're going to be right there.
Greg Wyshynski joining us here from ESPN.
I think this is going to be one of those where the opportunity to play in front of 85,000 fans, to have your family be involved in the skate, you know, today at the Cotton Bowl. There's just so much other ancillary stuff that a lot of these guys probably didn't think they'd get a chance to take part in playing in Nashville and playing in Dallas, considering what a huge bias there is towards the original six and Pittsburgh and Philly when it comes to these outdoor games, that they're just going to be more into the overall spectacle of it than be sour about, you know, having to play a critical game in, you know, awkward conditions.
I just feel like it's making something that's supposed to be light and fun way too serious. Like, this is like an after church. To me, this is like an after church party, you know, where you just have, it's not like really about having the cocktails. You know what I mean? It's about just kind of gathering, seeing how your friends and family are doing. And then, you know, you have a little barbecue and then you kind of go your separate ways. Like, you're trying to make this out to be like a black tie event where I've got to show up and, you know, there's going to be cameras and
exactly
people. I've got to dress nice and put on a belt and shoes and pants.
You got to make sure your socks match everything.
I don't want to do any of that crap.
Nothing in your nose. You got to make sure all that stuff is right.
No, I want to look like a homeless person.
Nah,
I like going to parties where I wear sweatpants.
Can't do that. Not this day.
Not a lot of parties where you wear sweatpants.
Yeah, not this day.
And by the way, Marquise Munson is going to be emceeing/hosting the Tin Roof Watch Party tomorrow for the Winter Classic. Can you tell everybody a little bit about that?
Are you
going to
be Keese?
Are you? Yeah. Which?
Are you
yeah,
Keese?
That's the major question.
I think you need to be Keese.
Yeah, I do need to be Keese.
Because Marquise is with the ladies at dinner, and Munson is the producer.
Yeah.
What are you with your family at, like, family vacation? Like, when you're with, like, Mama and Grandma and...
Marquise Lamont Munson.
The middle name's in there, too. So I think you need to be Keese, which is generally the person that goes out late on Friday night. You're going to be coming off New Year's Eve. It'll be New Year's Day. I don't think there's any problem with some enjoyments and some embellishments during this watch party. If you're at a bar
some,
on Broadway.
There's going to be some New Amsterdam vodka there.
See?
So, you know,
there you go.
I may have to try that. But no, I mean, I'll be at Tin Roof tomorrow. So if you want to watch the Winter Classic with your boy, come out there to Tin Roof. I'm going to get on the mic and be like, yo, y'all want to win some press tickets? Make some noise.
Munson's already in, like, party mode.
I'm always on party mode.
I know you always
are. You see the big smile on my face,
but
man?
I think there's some extra party mode today for you.
No, I mean, it ain't extra. It's just an ordinary day, you know?
Yeah.
Ordinary day in the life, the day in the life of Keese.
So, like, all of our bosses are gone because they're all in Dallas. So, like, are you just out of here at 10 a.m. just ready to party?
Oh, yeah, let's get wild.
Is that how it goes?
Hey, man, why you got to say that out loud? Like, yo, come on, Brady.
Come on, homie, don't say my name.
I'm going to be right there with you, dude.
What's up, my babies, my puppies? Let's go. Big hugs, tiny kisses.
Oh, big hugs, tiny kisses, everybody. Big hugs, tiny kisses, my babies and my puppies. The boys are going to the playoffs. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. Happy New Year, everybody. Jared Stillman is sitting in the studio.
I'm here.
He's sitting right there. Marquise, can you turn his microphone on?
Marquise, that note.
We're asking Marquise to work.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is this the one I'm on?
Yeah, you're on there.
Oh, okay, good.
How does it feel to be in here at this time of day? Going on at 10 a.m.
I got to tell you, when I woke up this morning, I was like, oh, God, I'm not sure how I feel about it. But I'm sure at 2 o'clock I'll be very happy that we've decided to get on the air here. I just don't ever get to see you guys anymore. I feel like I haven't seen D. Mason in 6 months. I mean, I swear. I think we had a staff meeting. I saw D. Mason at a staff meeting. I have not seen D. Mason in literally like 6 months. Yeah, so I'm just glad to see him.
Yeah, it's like SEC Media Day. It's the last time we all see each other.
Yeah. That's the one time we
Well, you guys don't even see Floyd because he doesn't come to the staff meetings and he didn't go to SEC Media
Day. Yeah, how does Floyd get out of all that stuff?
Huh? Hey, Floyd's on vacation during SEC. Not during SEC Media Day. Hey, Floyd's
He's got his. He owns like three islands in the Caribbean or whatever. He's down there hanging out.
It is what it is.
Big New Year's Eve plans for you, Stillman, tonight?
I do have big New Year's Eve plans.
Black tie?
Black tie optional.
Ah. Okay, there you
Fireball
go.
Gala, the W.O. Smith Music School benefit.
There you go.
I think it's the best party. Ticket's still available.
Fly.
There you have it.
Gonna be fly.
Derek's all dressed up nice. I'll be wearing sweatpants, sitting on my couch. Can't wait. Gonna be
there
awesome.
We go.
Oh, you got the two babies, so you ain't going out on
New Year's. We ain't got no babysitter, man. I can't afford that. I ain't got that diaper money. For Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Happy New Year 2019. Adios. Marquise Munson producing. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great, great New Year's holiday. And don't be stupid tonight.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, Happy New Year. Be safe, and I love ya.